It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this sixth day of April 2021, the sixth chief sick. Oh dear. But I got through it. No, it's the 6th of April 2021. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. And that, of course, is where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live. Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all times in between, and the great globe around. Hi, I'm Robin, and if you pop in right now, you'll be immediately greeted at the chat room by Anatole and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, me. That's who's moderating right now. So I'm tickled pink to be here for this Titanic Tuesday. Well, howdy, Anatole. Anatole saying, howdy, Miss Robin. Howdy back. I don't know where everybody is, Anatole. I don't get a memo or anything. But I'm sure folks will be wandering along before the tardy bell, certainly, hopefully. I don't know. But it is Titanic Tuesday here on the Horn, and dadgummit, just a second. I'm a little lost if I don't have all my devices, and I'm down one device. Oh, for pity's sakes. Let's see if we can, there's going to be a couple of minutes of dead air. Just tell folks if they ask. I'll be right back, okay? I'm such a blonde. Really and for truly, I'm a creature of habit, and I do some things on one device and another thing on another device, and it's... oh, for pity's sakes. But anyway, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And what that means is we send out thanks to our sixth day of the month subscribers today. And that means thanks very kindly to John. Thank you to Don in West Tennessee. Thank you to Michael in Madison. Thank you to Kim and Malin in New Jersey. Thank you to Kitty in Boston. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you to John in North Carolina. Let's see. Did I miss anything? No. We're all there. And what that means is we have a fun because last night we had a $10 challenge from Joey that Darlene kindly met. Thank you both. And speaking of Joey, Robin, blinded by the right. After speaking of Helen Keller yesterday and Annie Sullivan's amazing feat of teaching deaf and blind Helen to spell the word water in Annie's hand on that date, it was just so ironic when Dave and the Blind called the show last night with the sad news of Christine's temporary blindness. Oh, God, here's that damn giraffe already.
Yes, and Joey does mean temporary blindness because Christine's going to be well soon, and I, Jeffrey the giraffe, guarantee that Christine will soon see and be well again.
That's pretty high-minded of you. We certainly hope you're right, Giraffe. We do. We all do. So very much hope you're right.
On behalf of Joey, I would like to extend my high energy and our love and light to Christine. You stay tuned and you'll see I'm right.
Okay. There was a great book, Joey adds, written about 15 years ago by David Brock, a gay man who used to be a right-winger because, as his book title suggested, Brock was blinded by the right. I really enjoyed reading that book because Brock admitted all of the lies, obfuscation, and evil that the right wing continually promulgates. When I heard Robin discussing the idiot in the nursing home that gave $500 to the Trump Confederate Consortium, only to have most of his funds siphoned out of his bank account by the crime syndicate that is the Trump criminal cabal, I just had no sympathy. I could only ask one question. Okay, I'll let Giraffe ask it.
How fucking stupid are you people? Speaking of books, there is a book written by Gene Senko called Brainwashing of My Dad. I can only hope that Kyle in Kentucky can have his dad read that book before he starts donating money to these nefarious Nazis. Sorry, Kyle. I just had to say that after your dad stated that all the scientists are wrong about global warming because it was 37 degrees in northern Kentucky the other evening. Sadly, these people are just totally blinded by the right and may never see what the right wing is actually doing to them. I hope that helps Kyle and all the rest of you who have family out there who are blinded by the right. It will be a titanic struggle, but we have to all try to rescue our relatives from this ruse that is the right wing. Thank you, Jeffrey.
And it was very interesting to hear Dave and the Blind last night talk about how the state of Georgia set up resorts areas with swimming pools for the blind. And, of course, we all know the story of FDR in Warm Springs, Georgia. Interesting how both center around the discussion of water on the day Helen Keller spelled out the word water to Annie Sullivan so many years ago yesterday. And right now, the idiot governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, is trying to withhold water from voters potentially standing in long lines at the polls. The irony never stops because, well, there's a goddess in charge of irony. Jeffrey, on the other hand, is going to water down the conversation.
Yes, and I find it interesting that with the water discussion that a major employer in Atlanta is called Delta, considering deltas are wetlands that eventually form rivers. Kemp, you will not win this water war, and I hope the dam breaks on your bid to drown out the minorities in Georgia. Hell, I think the Delta Airlines flight attendants, thousands of them, should show up on election day with those carts they push up and down the aisles of the airplanes and serve free drinks for all those voters who will have to wait in line. Yes, Kemp, may the good water shower the people and drown your political pestilence.
Well, indeed, indeed. And so, you know, because we don't have a default-checked no-singing box, I will not sing Shower the People in my bad James Taylor impression. Now, this has been Joey's Journal for Titanic Tuesday, the sixth day of April, 2021, with Giraffe rising above the tide. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Giraffe. So that would get us down to $560 to go as we try to evade and avoid some gigantic, titanic Friday on the Front Porch miracle. Thank you both. Thank you very kindly. And well,
that with the reference to Kyle, isn't it Titanic Tuesday? Robin, you were just celebrating Titanic Tuesday.
Yeah.
Don't confuse me. I mean, it is Tuesday the 6th. Yeah, that's a little atomic clock says it's Tuesday. It's Titanic Tuesday. Yeah. What? I definitely know this is Tuesday. Don't screw with my head. But Gonzaga did not complete its undefeated national season, falling to the Baptist Bears of Baylor last night. Yeah, I was rooting for Gonzaga. Why not? Can't root for the gang from the lukewarm waters of the Brazos River. No. But having referenced Kyle and the pronouncements of wisdom coming from his dad. And God, I've got some of that going on in my family. Never mind. Not in my immediate family. Kyle had a note earlier today. Apparently, and you know, you kind of got to get the hockey puck out for this one again. Kyle's pearls of wisdom from his dad may also, just like Joey's journal, become a fixture in this program. What do we have here? Yeah. Apparently, Gonzaga lost last night because of some social justice initiative that the refs and the NCAA came up with to make things more fair, and the election that was rigged because Trump couldn't have been beaten fairly, and Baylor couldn't have beaten Gonzaga fairly. If that's not an example of some Titanic intellect, Kyle says, I don't know what is. I don't have to tell you who came up with this. At least he had the decency to wait until I finished my first cup of coffee. Oh, Lord. Yeah. Oh, God. Kyle, I understand. I do. And so many of us do. And if it helps to send along these pearls. Now, it's no fair just trying to goad Dad into coming forth with something like it. It has to happen organically, but just share it, and we will dissipate the morality, the Titanic intellect, like ripples traveling out from a MAGA commemorative coin thrown into a pond. Mm-hmm. Speaking of commemoratives, I saw a button today. And there's something in me kind of wants it. It's sold at dissentpins.com, DISSENTPINS.com. And this is an unpaid product placement. It's a lovely design for members of the Secret Jewish Space Laser Corps. And their motto at the bottom, Mazel Tov. Not Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. Yeah, very clever. Very clever indeed. I showed it to Agnes. She's, oh, I want one. Mm-hmm. Rats. Okay, I think I understand now what confused me. Yeah, we're getting blipped. There was a blip at 505 and a blip at 508. I think what Kyle needs to do is to refresh. Thank you for the clarification, Dave number 11. I get it now. Head on .live, drop the stream. They need to refresh. Kyle pointing out, I don't have to goad him. He brings it up himself out of nowhere. That's what makes it better, funnier, worse. whatever word you want to use. Yeah. And so, here we are at Titanic Tuesday with the intellect born of the same sort of cognition that once led a little right-winger to call the morning monotone and ask why there were seashells in the rocks in West Virginia because we ain't nowhere near the beach, and the long since gone to his long home. Morning monotone, responding, well, caller. And believe you me, when I say this, I'm putting a lot more color into the monotone than there actually was. Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so Titanic Tuesday was born. Born of a special kind of intellect, proud of, just boisterously proud of its own ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what that is. Hey, we got some good vaccine news out there. Steve from Georgistan and his beloved bride, Miss Karen, both got their Fauci ouchie number one. They got Moderna today. Let's see. I think we've got something. Yeah, there. Okay. Yeah. So congratulations to Steve and Ms. Karen. I knew that would come in handy. This evening, after we close the program, I'll be filling in for Malloy at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. He and Molly are on a little bit of a road trip, and so that's a lot of fun. And I was talking to George over at Progressive Voices earlier today about it all, and found out he got his second shot yesterday. Good so far, George says. My wife had both frontline, and daughter had her first shot today. Yay! Happy for you, George. Very happy indeed. And positive coronavirus news. Jeremy in Vermont points out the Army has started testing an all-in-one coronavirus vaccine that would cover all strains and the common cold rhinovirus, which is also a coronavirus. Here's hoping it works. That would be a game changer and a life changer, both. Yeah. Wow. The old cliche. The cure for the common cold. There we go. That would just be wild. Billable Rick says, stop it. Robin, please tell the Horn Family Community Congregation to stop telling us that Gonzaga lost due to a secret plot by the Bilderbergs to deflate the ball whenever Gonzaga was on offense and to pour cement on their shoes whenever they were on defense. Or maybe, much as I hate to say, the better team actually won the game. Baylor was not shabby. I mean, they were a machine during the Big 12 season, and it's just, yeah, another set of brackets down the toilet. Yeah, wait for next year. Yeah, right. Speaking of vaccines, some of these are just too much fun not to share. Another communique from 45 office, because he doesn't have Twitter anymore and Facebook's too complicated for the 75-year-old dotard. Yeah, Trey pointing out Baylor won by 16. It's kind of going away, right? ICYMI, in case you missed it, Trump isn't getting the proper credit for rolling vaccines.
Hey, Jason, you got to put this one out. Did you see this story? I'm not getting the credit.
And I'm not kidding. This is an actual release from Donald J. Trump sulking in his tent at Mar-a-Lago. That's about as close as you can get to a comparison between him and Achilles in the Iliad, but yeah. And while former President Trump and his administration were moving heaven and earth to rapidly deliver vaccines to the American people, the media were parading expert after expert saying the goal was impossible, and Vice President Harris and President Biden never gave Trump any credit for the vaccine, despite both being fully vaccinated before taking office.
Wow, so nice.
And then there's a link to the story from the... Oh, they're linking to stories from the Palm Beach Daily News. 2 days later, page A13. The 13th page of the first section of the newspaper. And it's not even an actual news story. Oh, headline, Trump isn't getting the proper credit for rolling vaccines. It's from the Your Turn portion of the Palm Beach Daily News. Moral Volcano and Battle Cry of Freedom. Oh, God. Some guy named Robert Davidow, a guest columnist. And they published it. Robert Davidow is a Palm Beach resident. Good for you, Robert. You're in print now. Aren't you just so proud? Yeah. David Wilson grossly understates former President Trump's role in creating and delivering the coronavirus vaccines. It is Your Turn. They have, so the neighbors in Palm Beach are battling and pissing and moaning on the pages, the back pages of the Palm Beach Post, and Nitwit Nero, desperate for attention, craving it, hungering for it, you know, like that one Star Trek monster that invaded the computer. Regic, Regic, Regic! Right.
Oh. So nice. Thank you so very much. Thank you. You like me. You really like me.
Oh, yeah. Just, no. No, no, no. He's pathetic, but we knew that. And it's just a little Titanic, just a little hunk of iceberg floating there to try to mow down. Yeah. Lee in New York says, cowbell, if a story on page A13 of the Palm Beach Post gets you laughing, it merits a cowbell. There, Donnie, I hope you're happier. Jesus, you got a mention on page A13 of the Palm Beach Post and a fucking cowbell. God, celebrate. Life is worth the living, Donnie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And now the battle of stop tellings has begun. This from Jeremy. Robin, please tell Rick to stop telling you what the Horn family should tell the rest of the family about sports. Oh, God, please don't let it be another one of those nights. Or one of those nights. I can't keep up. Kyle on the other says, stop talking sense. Stop, stop, stop. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stockton Larry pointing out, Jesus, Robin. Clearly, God, ex-disgraced ex-chancellor of the Baylor Baptist Ken Starr, who should win? And he said the boys from Waco are more Christier than the boys from Spokane. Whore of Babylon, you know. Well, yeah. Yeah. Babylon, Waco. Right. Yeah. What an evening this is going to be. Without a doubt. And just here, this, with an ad for the all-electric new, the next all-electric super truck, the GMC Hummer EV, unplayed product placement, reserve yours, no, I don't think so, because at the bottom there's fine print on this story from CNN Politics, simulated vehicle shown, actual production model may vary, initial availability early 2023, limitations apply at participating dealers. I don't know. You reckon you're going to be able to buy that in the stand states? Kind of an imposing looking son of a gun, but goddamn, what kind of batteries this thing got in it? Because well, they show it being dropped from the sky and then getting up and driving away. It's all CGI. The Hummer EV. I mean, I'm all for electric vehicles, but that just looks a little, well, a little silly. But nonetheless, headline, full speed ahead into that there iceberg. McConnell warns businesses of serious consequences after many condemn Georgia's restrictive voting law. That's right. Moscow Mitch McConnell, the chinless wonder, the worst thing ever to come out of Sheffield, Alabama. Well, goodness me. He issued a statement yesterday, Moscow Mitch did. From election law to environmentalism to radical social agendas to the Second Amendment, parts of the private sector keep dabbling in behaving like a woke parallel government. Corporations will invite serious consequences if they become a vehicle for far-left mobs to hijack our country from outside the constitutional order. Businesses must not use economic blackmail to spread disinformation and push bad ideas that citizens reject at the ballot box. Mitch, maybe it's Aricept time? Because, well, you lost at the ballot box, buddy. Apparently all those woke people like the idea of an America that lets people vote when they want to. Lets people exercise the franchise when the franchise is available to be exercised, for God's sakes. It's economic blackmail. And you notice that the people who are saying they don't want to, you know, they don't want to support companies that support voter suppression, suddenly they're a far-left mob. Hey, mobs. That word. He keeps using that word. I don't think he knows I don't think it means what he thinks it means, Moscow Mitch McConnell. What he's saying is that he's going to, well, that's kind of coded language. Now, all y'all used to give me money, and I expect you to keep giving me money. We're going to filibuster everything, and you won't get no more money. Jesus. Legislative mob behavior, for God's sakes. Yeah. Economic blackmail. All this because Major League Baseball said that they don't want to have the All-Star game in a state that suppresses, that makes it a felony to give somebody standing in line for hours and hours and hours a bottle of water? Nah, because that's still in the bill. That's very much still in the bill. The lieutenant governor of Georgia has now sort of outed himself. Lieutenant Governor Jeff with a G Duncan, you know, just like Giraffe spells his name with a G, so does Giraffe Duncan. And he's a conservative Republican, of course. He was interviewed on CNN and said, one thing that Stacey Abrams raised was the issue of the legislature. I want to ask you, because the law removes the Aaron Burnett asking the question. Sorry, wrong voice. I want to ask you, because the law removes the Secretary of State as chairman of the Board of Elections. We all remember Brad Raffensperger. He refused to overturn the state's election results, but the legislature, which is now going to get that authority, at least six state legislators, called for a special session to overturn the results of the 2020 election. And they, in this law, have the power to appoint the majority of the election board. So are you worried about this? That the law gives the legislature too much power? To which the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christian Lieutenant Governor of Georgia said, yeah, I'd spoken as loud as I possibly could against trying to go to a special session. I think I did it with you several times. I'm also not supportive of taking punitive steps against Brad Raffensperger, who did nothing wrong except for becoming the president's scapegoat, the former president's scapegoat. I love that he had to correct me. Former president in this situation. I thought that was a punitive move that didn't necessarily make any difference. But look, there is a number of things. Yes, there is a number of things. There is a number of things in this bill that I think are common sense measures, and some that I didn't necessarily think was the right time to do it. Yeah. I think it's positively a common sense thing to make sure that can't nobody standing in line, that lines that last for freaking hours and hours and hours in, you know, majority, minority neighborhoods, because that's the way God wants them to vote. That is not at all, well, God and the Georgia legislature, and me too for that matter. It was right time for that. Yeah, it's time and issue, too. Mm-hmm. Look, there's other states that have more cumbersome election laws than we do, but it's just the timing of this. It'd be like a professional sports team being on a long losing streak and the next day raising their ticket prices. It just doesn't sound and feel like the right timing on some of these things. And so that begs the question of, okay, which parts of the bill were poorly timed and problematic? And well, there was old Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan. Well, for me, it was the steps around Brad Raffensperger and getting him off the elections board. And secondly, there's two sides to the food and water in line and the technicalities of it. I just thought the timing was insensitive and not timely. Yeah. How'd you vote on it? Oh, wait, you're the Lieutenant Governor. You only vote in cases of a tie. Oops. It was insensitive, not timely. I'm surprised he didn't say, and if it wasn't for all these damned outside agitators coming down here, we wouldn't have no problems. But then the ghost of Lester Maddox and George Wallace would appear right by his side, and we'd all know exactly who the hell Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan was. It's just the timing, you understand, the timing. But as to economic blackmail, Mitch Matt in San Francisco says he's projecting again. He knows all about economic blackmail and hostage taking. Because he's doing it right now. Yeah. I mean, pick a piece of legislation. The John Lewis Voting Rights Act, for instance. That thing passed the House. The For the People Act, H.R. 1, passed the House. And once again, well, thanks to Joe Manchin and Mitch McConnell, but Mitch McConnell, there will not be a single Republican vote for any piece of legislation that makes sure them people get to vote any easier, because that's a surefire way that we ain't going to be in office. Not only will not have our back trotters in the trough, we ain't going to have the front ones in there neither. We're Republicans. We're white people. We deserve our trotters in the trough. It's getting a little obvious, you know. Because Mitch has been engaging in that economic blackmail for a while. And in fact, he was economic blackmailing in that very statement. There's going to be some consequences. Yeah, there's going to be some consequences for some corporations, and I think they know who they are. If they don't straighten up and fly to the right, the hard, hard right, we're going to be back in power. We are. Why you reckon they doing what they doing in Georgia? That preacher that they done sent here and ruining all our fun. You ever try to have fun with a preacher in the room? Can't be done. And they done sent one to the Senate and is ruining everything for us. Mm-hmm. Big fan of corporate money in politics, Mitch McConnell. And he can always twist himself into a pretzel trying to justify it all. Yeah, corporations need to stay out of politics and not be intimidated by the left. need not to jump into the middle of a highly controversial issue. It's stupid. Stupid, I tell you. Stupid. He said, well, they have a right to participate in the political process. They do. I mean, corporations are human beings. And then the part that if there really was any deity up in the sky with a handful of lightning bolts or an aegis or anything, he wouldn't have made it. He wouldn't have finished the sentence. But selecting how you do that in a way that doesn't completely alienate an awful lot of people who depend on your product strikes me as not very smart. Republicans drank Coca-Cola, too, and we fly, and we like baseball. Well, maybe y'all need your own little separate league and your own little separate airline and your own little separate soft drink. God, they're stupid. Remember when they got mad at Nike and they set fire to their $200 shoes? Remember when they got mad at Yeti? And filled up their $500 coolers with Tannerite and blew them up, you know, after they'd already spent the money. Well, y'all Republicans there, go right out and pour all your Coca-Cola down the drain. Or maybe you can just pour it into that wastewater impoundment there in Manatee County, Florida. It's going to overflow and wind up in Tampa Bay anyway. Pour out all the Coca-Cola that you already bought. And then don't you buy no more. Okay? Don't you buy no more Coca-Cola. Do you have any idea how difficult it is? I mean, I've like I said, I drank my first bottle of pop, I think, yesterday. I opened up a Diet Sprite, a Coca-Cola product. But I don't drink much at all anymore. Mostly exclusively water. Probably from the Coca-Cola company or Pepsi. I don't know. Who the hell owns Deer Park? The fine print. Oh, dear God. It doesn't say here, but that's what I've been drinking lately is Deer Park sparkling water. It's been on sale down to the Kroger. Pop is not particularly good for you. But, and this is a fact, and we all know it. If you're a Pepsi person, Coke ain't it. I mean, that goes all the way back to 1985 when Coca-Cola tried to introduce Pepsi-flavored Coke. Blech. I don't know, maybe they can, maybe people like Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, can start drinking Pepsi White. Or maybe just milk. A little seltzer in it. Give it that fizz that you so crave. Right, yeah. I mean, we drank Coca-Cola, too, and we fly, and we like, but, you know, this is very close to the, what is this, the Mitch McConnell version of the if you prick me, do I not bleed speech from The Merchant of Venice? And claiming, and this is the Republic, really, you know you're on the losing end of something when your talking point is, this ain't nearly as bad as this. I mean, it's bad, but it ain't as bad as y'all are making it out to be. Nobody really thinks this current dispute comes anywhere near the horrific racist brutality of segregation. Our private sector must stop taking cues from the outrage industrial complex. Really? The outrage industrial complex. I think we're talking about the same Republican Party that's having kittens with crocheted tails over little kids being able to get medicine that'll make them not want to kill themselves. Americans do not need or want big business to amplify disinformation or react to ever manufactured controversy with frantic left-wing signaling. It's jaw-dropping to see... Because he had a jaw right there, and he dropped it right on the floor. You know, clank. It was probably a Australopithecus McConnellensis. It's jaw-dropping to see powerful American institutions not just permit themselves to be bullied, but join the bullying themselves, because that's what it was. When Major League Baseball pulled that All-Star game out, they was a bullying poor little Brian Kemp, 90-pound weakling that he is. But that is funny. Oh, God, that's funny. They pulled the All-Star game from Atlanta and handed it to Denver. You know, Colorado, with their mail-in voting system that has got next to no... There's no voter fraud. Zip. And they're a blue state. And now they're going to enjoy the All-Star game. And frankly, it's probably going to be a lot more comfortable to do in the All-Star game at a mile high in July than it would be, you know, sweltering in, you know, 100-degree heat at... is it still Turner Field? I don't know. But oh, poor old Moscow Mitch. He don't like the For the People Act. It's a power grab of all 50 states' election laws and the Federal Election Commission it's impossible to defend, so the left wants to deflect. Hey, you got a fleck over there. Let me deflect you. They're using all the magic buzzwords from, well, over a half a century ago. Voter identification for absentee ballots. A state takeover of local elections boards in case the wrong people decide to vote in some of those local election areas, precincts and counties and whatnot. Yeah, yeah. And limit one ballot drop box per county. And then, of course, the food and drink thing. Yeah. Oh, for pity's sakes, it's even worse. Oh, there goes my Deer Park. Shit, that's Nestle. Evil bastards. I'm going to have to learn how to be a creature that does not consume anything. Everything is... You just had to tell me, didn't you? Yeah. Thanks, Ron. It's bottled by Nestle. N-E-S-T-L-E-S. Oh, Jesus. Well, let's see. The Topo Chico was bottled by Coca-Cola and had unacceptably high levels of toxins in it. And I can't afford the San Pellegrino and the Perrier. Ugh. Yeah. It's a timing issue, according to Kyle. Well, that translates to we did it after we lost three elections and were too obvious about our objective. Normally, we're smarter about not being so in your face about our racism. It's a timing issue. Right. Yeah. And all this, Kyle points out, over a game that doesn't even count. Well, it does determine who gets the home field advantage in the World Series. So it counts a little bit. I would submit to the court, says Matt in San Francisco, that Mitch has no jaw to drop. We call on him to prove he has the jaw of which he speaks. Well, you know what? That probably explains why he's chinless Mitch McConnell now, doesn't it, Matt? Meanwhile, Jeremy, trying to be a problem solver. You know, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. Trying to be a solution, Jeremy suggests, could we for God's sake find a nice little happy safe space for all these Republicans off in space not too far from the flat earth that their God Emperor, the Death Yam, rules from page 13 in the papers? Holy cow, that's poetry. That's just beautiful. That he rules from page A13 of the Palm Beach Police. Oh, I just love that. That's a beautiful thing. Yeah, thank you, Steve, from Georgistan, from the Ad Hoc Research Department, Deer Park. Brand of bottled water from the Nestle Company, produced and marketed primarily in the Mid-Atlantic region. Yeah, I knew there was a reason I worried about that big old antlered buck on the label. Damn it. Well, maybe I can go back to the Kroger brand stuff. I mean, somebody's bottling it for them, but at least it's a union shop, one hopes. Well, a creature that does not consume anything. Are you going to become Santaran? They live on energy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just going to sit out in the sunshine and turn pink. Well, at least it'll be pink. Yeah. But a little bit of news, seeing as how Mitch McConnell was talking about mobs, woke left-wing mob. And can we take a minute with the woke? It's another case of appropriation. Woke and wokeness, correct me if I'm wrong, especially the African-American contingent of the Horn Family Community Congregation. Didn't the idea of woke arise in the black community? And woke as being a different way of expressing an idea of having become enlightened to a real problem. And now the white folks of the Republican Party have turned it into a dirty word. Isn't there a philosophical sort of component to that? If, as I understand it, to be woke is to be enlightened, and throughout most of semi-modern human history, going back to, 500 BCE or so, I think that's when the Buddha was wandering around and hanging out in the hot subcontinental Asian sunshine and being shielded by the hood of a cobra and achieving enlightenment, thus becoming the Buddha. I know that's very, our dear friend Tara Devlin is Buddhist, and she would probably say, no, Robin, that's a little bit too facile. But I mean, the understanding, becoming enlightened so that one no longer has to participate in the endless cycle of birth and death and rebirth that is reincarnation, because the whole point is to get out of the metaphysical rat race and become like, and go wherever it is that the candle flame goes when you blow it out. That's enlightenment. And then there are those who achieve enlightenment and come back and try to lead the way. And there's a, what is that? Is that a bodhisattva? We've got Buddhist practitioners in the Horn Family Community Congregation. If I'm screwing up the vocabulary, I apologize. And Bodhisattva, won't you take me by the hand? No, we're back into Steely Dan again. But I find this objection by the white wing to the idea of woke. A, they are mocking language that comes from the black community, which, of course, tells us a whole bunch about the white wing that we pretty much knew all along. There's that. And then there's the whole idea of, like I said, the definition of what it is to be woke, which is to be enlightened, to have the scales fall from one's eyes, and to having had said scales fall away, to be present in a beautiful moment and shocking sometimes moment, disturbing moment of recognition and realization of what's really going on. Enlightenment. As the late great prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, once observed, to have one's third eye squeegeed squeaky clean. When I read that thing, when I read Mitch McConnell, and of course Mitch McConnell did not write this, some 20-something little right-wing asshole or maybe 30-something, or possibly 40-something, in Mitch McConnell's office wrote that. And Mitch said, by God, you're going to make me say woke. that'll get their knickers in a twist. That'll do it. There's a certain amount of, a lot of Titanic intellect that's wrapped up in mocking the concept of wokeness. Yeah, the outrage industrial complex, Brother Deacon Asa wrote, like blowing up your maggot little Yeti coolers with Tannerite, I mean, how many times have they gone out and destroyed stuff that they've already purchased to show their... it's a kind of algebra of wokeness. It's a negative wokeness, these Republican responses to... being called out for the racism and the bigotry that informs their every breath. Yeah, I forgot about that. That's true. David in South Carolina stand pointing out they stopped Hamilton dead in its tracks, too. Yeah, we ain't going to go see that there Hamilton play because, we wasn't going to go see it anyway because that'd been involved going to New York. COVID put paid to Hamilton on stage and on Broadway. And hopefully Broadway will soon be on its way back and the great... Can we stop calling it the Great White Way? I mean, yeah, I know, cancel culture, right? It had to do with the fact that Broadway was all lit up with probably originally gas lights and then electric lights. But still, there's a little something kind of about that. Yeah. And then there's this from Moscow Mitch from Lamar the Magnificent. Just saying, y'all picked the wrong time of the year to boycott due to the merging of almost all companies. Boycotting won't work, and you're only hurting you and your friends, Moscow Mitch. And as to the woke comment, if you don't like woke, this is brilliant. Thank you, Lamar. If you don't like woke, you should have let us sleep, you asshole. Yeah. Okay, well, see, this is why I ask the questions I ask, because I learn things. Woke and other memes. Ron in Raleigh points out the woke meme has been around off and on in the black community since the 1940s. It's like identity politics, coined by Barbara Smith in 1972, a term used by black feminists to describe their movement. Same as social justice. White people have appropriated these terms and made them into pejoratives. Can't y'all people make up your own phrases, your own lexicon for shit's sake? Yeah, but see, that's why, Ron. Because the very things you bring up, wokeness, identity politics, social justice, these are all powerful terms that point out the brutality of an inherently racist culture. And so what the Republicans are doing, whether they realize it or not, and there are Republicans who do realize it, is to try to take the power out of the words. And because we've seen what, and we've talked about this on this program, and terms like neoliberal. Neoliberal means something. Flavio and I talked about this at length one evening. Neoliberal has an actual meaning, but our side primarily, you know, the sparkle fart powered unicorn cavalry purity patrol took all the force out of neoliberal as a term, because they turned it into a word that only means something I don't like. It became a complaint. It became a pout. And that's what the Republicans are doing with woke and identity politics Our side did some of that, too. And social justice. Ron, tell me if I'm wrong, but I'll bet environmental justice comes from the same place. Because environmental justice arose as an idea that stemmed from the fact that all the rotten, toxic, poisonous bullshit that corporate America does always seems to happen on top of a marginalized community. I'll bet you marginalized community probably also comes from the ongoing African-American discussion about the African-American experience. Because these are marginalized communities. But the beauty of the genius of these terms is that that when you start looking around, you find out that it has a broad broad implications and a broad application. Yeah, I got a little chapped earlier today. Ron's down in North Carolina. And lo and behold, the North Carolina legislature got busy today. Oh, wait, Matt in San Francisco says, woke, you're 1,000% correct. They're pissed off that people would dare to call them on their bullshit racism. So they can't help but appropriate a term and then claim outrage. It's all so, so tiresome. Time to exit stage left. We have all seen enough. S-C-E-N-E. Well played, Matt. Well played. Yeah. But I did. I got a little bit, I got a lot pissed off earlier. Because North Carolina Stan has decided that they're going to follow along with the other Confederate states. And they've introduced a bill to make it illegal to give puberty blockers to trans kids in North Carolina or hormones or gender-affirming surgery to anyone under 21. Hormones are usually reserved, and God, I hope we don't lose half the audience this evening because I brought up a trans issue. Puberty blockers are for kids going through puberty. And they are what is called GnRH agonists. And they stop the action of sex hormones and what they do to the human body until such time as the child can decide as an adult what is right for them. And then if they do decide to transition, they will not be tormented by what the hormones have done to their bodies in the interim. And then depending on the state, 16 or 18 for hormones themselves. And almost never before 18, gender-affirming surgery. So, and the thing is, North Carolina learned this lesson already. The NCAA crawled all over them when they had their trans bathroom bill, the great potty bill wars. You know, the North Carolina legislature was obsessed with who and how people went pee-pee and poo-poo in a public restroom. I mean, it really is that infantile. We use infantile language to describe infantile behavior. But now they think that because they're talking about medication, well, you know, maybe the NCAA won't care so much about this. I mean, they got rules about who can have how much testosterone in there. And so the NBC News story is accompanied by a photograph. Protesters blocked the street in front of the Supreme Court on October 8th, 2019 in Washington, D.C. This goes back to the Supreme Court decision on trans rights. And it's a whole bunch of young people. And they're holding signs like trans people belong, equality for LGBTQ people, no more, no less. Trans rights are civil rights or human rights. Love is amongst us. And it's so inspiring to see kids like this. Because they know that Republicans hate their very lives. And nonetheless, they stand to make their voices heard. And so here we go again. Three North Carolina Republican lawmakers introduced a bill on Monday that would prevent doctors from performing gender confirmation surgery for transgender people younger than 21. And curiously, there are a couple of really, really good surgeons in North Carolina. It just so happens I've had to research this sort of thing. A friend of mine had her surgery done in North Carolina. The legislation, the Associated Press reports, follows a nationwide trend of GOP-controlled state legislatures looking to limit treatments for transgender adolescents. Unlike other states, however, North Carolina would classify adults between the ages of 18 and 21 as minors under the Youth Health Protection Act. Who names this shit? No, what this is the we want you to go ahead and commit suicide. Would you do that first, please? These are ethnic cleansing bills. Or gender cleansing bills. Yeah. Puberty blockers are essentially a developmental timeout until the kids can sort it out. That's all they are. And whether it's Tennessee or Arkansas or Idaho Stan. Did I say Tennessee? I meant Tennistan. Or Talabama or Mississippi Stan. These are efforts to immiserate children. Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of things that don't happen, that you know, sex hormones make your body do. If you're getting flooded with testosterone at, say, you know, 12 years old or whatever, you know, your face erupts in acne. And other parts of your body, too, for that matter. You know, there's changes in what the growth plates in your bones do. In assigned male at birth, you know, it's the deepening of the voice. Obviously, in assigned female at birth people, it's the development of breasts, the onset of menarche. All of which in a little trans kid are horrors, tragedies, such that 40% of trans kids report having at least attempted suicide. And every one of these godforsaken Republicans is on record as supporting suicide or attempted suicide. Well, it just shows that they was crazy in the first place. Only a crazy person wants to commit suicide.
Yes. We're just trying to prevent children from performing genital mutilation.
Hey, lady. I mean, that one idiot woman, her first name's Robin, in Arkansas, actually said that out loud, I guess, because she's a member of the Rand Paul and that thing on his head fan club. Some of the damnedest mutilation you've ever seen. Because, see, that's the funny part. They get all obsessed about who goes potty where, and yet, post-operatively, not one of these goddamn Republicans could spot a post-surgical vaginoplasty from a cis vagina. The plastic surgery is that stunning. And, by the way, that person ain't going to be going in and raping nobody. And for that matter, nobody on the gender-affirming. Right. But there have been plenty of men, you know, assigned male at birth men, who, not even wearing so much as a patina of lipstick, have and continue to rape women all over this country. Republicans,
not so much. We're only worried about it if it happens in the girls' room. Fucking idiots. And so in North Carolina, if this thing manages to pass, and it probably will, and then off to the courts we go, at tremendous expense to the people of North Carolina, you know, lawyers' fees, and if you lose, and they will, hopefully, then attorney's fees for the other side. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the thing that really blows my mind about Senate Bill 514 in North Carolina is that, as noted, it classifies adults between the ages of 18 and 21 as minors, as long as we're only talking about their gender identity. Now, here's the gigantic screaming irony of that. If this bill passes in North Carolina, and you as a trans kid, as an 18-year-old actual adult, are willing to go through the shitstorm of it, you can join the United States military at 18, risk your life, and because the state of North Carolina cannot control the rules that apply to the U.S. military, that 18-year-old can then go through, if I understand President Biden's executive order correctly, can then go through transition on the federal dime, on the Pentagon dime. Now, somebody find me a fiscal conservative or something. Well, but it's the same hypocrisy, whether it's Mitch McConnell pissing and moaning about, maybe we need to boycott Coca-Cola. Since when are Republicans not all in? I mean, I'm so old, I can remember when the Republican Party got all kinds of worked up about the beloved, holy, sacred, free fucking market. Well, you know, you just got to let the market decide. Well, Major League Baseball's a market. Airlines are markets. Everything's a market in a capitalist society. In a capitalist economic system. I shouldn't say society. I don't think as a society we're capitalist, but economically, we kind of are. And once upon a time, Republicans would campaign on the idea that, well, what we got to do, we can't have a bunch of government regulation. What we got to do is we got to let the free market be free. Okay. And so the free market makes a free market decision. A corporation makes a decision within the free market that they don't want to have one of their signature events associated with a state that's engaged in Jim Crow level bigotry, and racism. Oh, Jesus. Well, can't have a bunch of left-leaning mobs with toxifying our corporations with all their wokeness. And so in North Carolina, if this bill becomes law, we can send kids off to die for a fucking oil company in some godforsaken foreign land. And maybe they can transition along the way on the taxpayer dime when they could have just paid for it privately, except for the wisdom of the free market Republicans. God damn. But it gets worse. Any doctor or medical professional, certified nurse practitioner, nurse midwife, what have you, who facilitates a transgender person's desire to present themselves or appear in a way deemed inconsistent by some goddamn Republican's notion of biological sex, well, that healthcare practitioner could have their license yanked. No kidding. Lose their license to practice medicine.
and be fined $1,000 per occurrence. So is an occurrence a pill or an injection? Some of the best of these purity blockers are injectables. It's a once-a-month injection, and it can range anywhere from $1,500 up to I'm not sure how much per injection. You don't take these things willy-nilly. And by the way, there's something out there, and way, way, way back, before we were ever talking about this issue, way, way, way back, we were talking about it was part of a conversation, and this may go all the way back to the bad old days of AM radio in Beckley, West Virginia, the pernicious effects of environmental toxins on children. You know, the children that the Republicans claim to love and want them all to get all born and everything. Those children? Well, exposure to environmental toxins can fuck with a kid's endocrine system in a big way. Such that little girls, for instance, like 7, 8-year-old little girls, start going through something called precocious puberty. It happens to little boys, too. Sometimes it happens naturally, but it's still ill-timed and shouldn't be happening. You know, we all went to, most all of us probably can remember some kid in school, some boy who had a mustache that he could curl into a handlebar in sixth grade. 5 o'clock shadow by 11 in the morning. Well, that boy was going through what's called precocious puberty. And it's bad, actually. It's bad for a child. And that's what these GnRH agonists were all originally designed for, was to stop puberty in its tracks until the kid could grow a little bit into the place where puberty ordinarily happens. Well, the North Carolina legislature is trying to weasel its way around that, because if you ban puberty blockers, you ban them for, you know, Alabama, Arkansas have effectively banned puberty blockers for little 8-year-old girls who start their periods. Holy shit. What? It'd be terrifying. Under the best of circumstances. I mean, you're supposed to have, three or four more years before that kicks in. So that at least it'll make a little sense when mommy tries to explain it. Yeah. As the AP says, the measure bars doctors from providing gender-confirming hormone therapy, puberty blockers, or surgery. And then, oh, here's the fun part. Here's the part that just really oozes fascism. And they've done it in other states as well, because all these things are crafted by filthy little outfits like the Family Research Council, who began life with an email list that they purchased from the fucking Klan. It turns, well, you know what the word narc means. I mean, it started out life as someone who works in the narcotics division of a law enforcement agency. But it became a verb. To narc. And to narc means to inform upon, to turn in, to stool pigeon, to inform on. And SB 514 in North Carolina would turn every employee of the state of North Carolina into a narc. Someone who informs on a child. The said state employee would have to inform the parents in writing if their child displayed gender nonconformity. Jesus, that's not, oh, hell no, that's not Orwellian at all. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Schmedlick, the purpose of this note is to inform you that my student, young Sally Schmedlick, has been displaying signs of gender nonconformity. I am required to write this letter as a function of maintaining my employment because of a law passed by the state of North Carolina, and I wanted you to know that your daughter recently asked us to refer to her as them, and we deem this to be gender nonconformity. Please stop sending your daughter to school wearing pants and make sure she's wearing a cute little dress with 17 layers of crinoline fucking petticoats, because gender nonconformity will not be tolerated in the state of North Carolina. Yeah. And so, children will live in a constant state of fear. And not just trans kids, but cis kids. Oh my, oh my. No, no. Little Bobby, get away from those girls playing jump rope. Go over there and play with the little barbarians who are beating each other senseless over a football. No, little Bobby, you cannot jump rope with a... Oh, dear God. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Cadiddle Hopper, the purpose of this note, under North Carolina law, is to inform you that your son Bobby has been displaying signs of gender nonconformity, period. In particular, I write to inform you that I saw little Bobby today trying to jump rope with the little girls at recess, when we all know that God wants all the little boys to be beating themselves senseless over a goddamn football. Thank you. Please get little Bobby to butch up a little bit, for Jesus' sake, really, and make sure that he never wears anything even faintly resembling the color pink to school, as that will mean I will have to write another one of these goddamn letters, as we cannot tolerate gender nonconformity in the state of North Carolina, the greatest state in the greatest country in the history of the universe of all time, under God. Amen. Yours truly. I despise them. I do. I fucking despise them. The author of the bill was Republican State Senator Ralph Hayes. He represents a part of Western North Carolina. And when the AP called him for comment, he couldn't find his way to the telephone. On the other hand, they were joined by Senators Warren Daniel and Norman Sanderson. See, I referred to Senator Hayes as they because I don't know what Senator Hayes' gender is. I don't know if an asshole has a gender. But Senators Daniel and Sanderson, well, they represent... Senator Daniel represents a western area of North Carolina stan, and Senator Sanderson, they represent one of the coastal beach-type areas of North Carolina stan. Son of a... Yeah. So it goes on and on and on. Wonder who's next. Gee, which Confederate state hasn't filed one of these bills yet? Because it does get worse. I mean, truly, this is Titanic intellect.
Oh, we love the little children. We just want them to be nice and miserable like we was.
Because you do. You sit and you think and you... It's kind of triggery. Because you can't help wondering. What would have happened? What would have happened? All those decades ago.
Yesterday, we were taking note of the fact that the governor of Arkansas, Asa Hutchinson, had vetoed the bill that the Arkansan legislature sent to his desk about trans medicine. Well, it didn't take long. The Arkansas General Assembly, is that what they're referred to as? I'm not sure. They overrode his veto today. So a gubernatorial veto in a place like Arkansas, well, it just really doesn't mean that damn much. And so, the American Civil Liberties Union, in their transgender support department, has already vowed litigation, and they'll probably. I hope they will win. This thing is so brutal that it's hard to imagine any court of competent jurisdiction. But then again, why am I saying this? Because we know that in maggot states are full of maggot judges and even maggot federal judges. But Chase Strangio is at the ACLU, and is intimately associated with their transgender rights department, tweeted earlier today, the Arkansas General Assembly has officially voted to override Governor Hutchinson's veto. HB 1570 passes. And then this, and it's so true. We will see you in court, you cruel, cruel people. One father of a trans kid tried to testify in Arkansas and told the committee that they were playing God and that they were professing to know the will of God. And the only response that the Republican committee the chair had was, "Your time's up! Your time is up!" And he kept talking. This father. "Your time is up." And he kept talking. "Will y'all please remove the witness?" And so a couple of cops came over and handcuffed him behind his back and removed him from the hearing room as he used every last bit of his will and his power and his voice to speak up for his children and other children who have been rendered voiceless. Now, the AP is saying that the proposal in North Carolina will almost certainly not become law, even though there are Republican majorities in both the House and the Senate. The governor of North Carolina is, of course, a Democrat, Roy Cooper. What his veto powers are in North Carolina, I don't know. Can you help? Can you help out a little bit there, Ron and Raleigh? But it's all performative and it's responsive, because see, this got started because Democrats in North Carolina announced a legislative package that would provide for greater legal protections for the LGBTQ community, Q plus community in North Carolina. Among other things, it would fully repeal the potty bill. It had been partially repealed after the NCAA dropped a rock on them. It would repeal the rest of it. Democrats in North Carolina want to outlaw
conversion therapy where gay people, usually young gay people, are tormented and tortured until they say, okay, I'm not gay, just forget it, I'm not gay. See, we made them all better. So the bill that the three senators introduced would make it illegal in the state of North Carolina for any of the state's licensing boards to punish anyone if they engage in conversion therapy and at the same time say that, well, the conversion therapy I offer is consistent with my conscience and my religious beliefs. Once again, putting evangelical fundamentalist homosexual religion of one over the rights of others. Nothing in any of this legislation about who pays the funeral bills for a trans kid who commits suicide. No. Nothing in there about hospital care if the little trans kid is not successful. This is your Republican Party. No, it's not yours, it's not mine, it's not ours. This is their Republican Party. Whether it's trying to keep people, the wrong people, from voting, or trying to keep the wrong people from being able to go to the doctor, it's all they've got left. Even the things that they swore up and down were their goddamn values. Free market! Can't withstand their desperate desire to give life to their hatreds. Yeah. And there's another one. Ron in Raleigh says, in my humble opinion, I consider circumcision as an actual genital mutilation. So do I. I mean, now that I'm looking at things, and nobody wants to hear about it, but now that I'm looking at things down the road that pertain to all of that, a little extra flesh might have been handy. How many stories have you read about some ham-handed surgeon fucking up a circumcision? How many nasty fucking moils have infected a baby boy with herpes when gnawing at a child's penis in an ultra-Orthodox community? It happens. And then the baby boys die. The Jewish community in the United States is primarily the majority of people who still mutilate young boy penises. But it's also done to non-Jewish people because they're still perpetuating lies out there. Well, you know, it'll be easier for him to keep it clean. And, you know, you can get diseases. Well, shit. You can also be disfigured for life. And, you know, if you find out about what they do to a little baby boy, you know, there's no anesthesia. And they're screaming and there's blood. And some of the most sensitive nerve endings down there are thrown away as medical waste. But it's okay. It's okay. Sure. Why not? Ron asks, how about waiting until a male is 21 and letting him decide if he wants someone whacking on his pee-pee? Ta-da! No, that's not in the North Carolina bill. Ha! Veto power. Ha! Ron in Raleigh says, Governor Cooper got the same treatment that Democratic governors of states with Republican legislatures got. He was stripped of appointment powers. The legislature's lousy with Republicans, or pig lickins, and they will override any veto. But Lee does point out a 3/5 majority is needed in each chamber, 30 votes in the Senate and 72 in the House, to override gubernatorial vetoes. I wonder if they stripped him of his veto power anyway. I could, you know, I could go the rest of the evening on this. But it might, probably not good for listenership. Oh, well. But all of these things, I mean, I shouldn't be, but I'm kind of flabbergasted. All of these bills are being put forward in legislatures where they claim, I mean, how many Hindu legislators are there, do you suppose, in Arkansas? How many Muslims? Hell, how many Jews? The Jews! Sorry, I didn't mean to make it sound like that way. I mean, these are massive majority Christian legislative bodies. Many of whom, well, some of them are preachers outright. And most of them will, you know, if they're not too hungover on Sunday morning, be right there in the pews. This is not prayer meeting Wednesday, and I'm not turning it into it. But they'll be right there in the pews listening to some semi-literate, barely educated preacher bark and grumble and grunt about a rule for the priestly class of the children of Israel in the Bronze Age, and who shall wear the raiment of whatever, and they shall be taken outside the city gates and stoned to death if they eat a shrimp fucking cocktail. And they think they know the will of God, like that witness was talking about in Arkansas. Easter was Sunday. And in their theology, it's probably a bigger holiday than Christmas. Because that's when Easter's when Jesus turned into a zombie. And zombie Jesus gave him rules. And then he flew up to heaven in his holy rolls. But back before they murdered him, well, Jesus was sitting around, Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi who wore a dress almost every day of his life until they... Maybe it's for tomorrow. I'm going to stop gendering Jesus. Mm-hmm. I think Jesus is going to be a them for me from now on. Because, you know, the evidence is that, you know, the time, he blew right past that time in life when all the other good little Jewish boys were getting married, you know, to little barely teenage girls. And you can ask any practitioner of any Christian faith, Greek Orthodox, Roman Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran. Ask them all, hey, did Jesus ever get laid? No, absolutely not. He was perfect. I don't know what it is about not having sex that makes somebody perfect, but that tells us a little bit about him yet, doesn't it? But by their own admission, they're an NB pronouns, a non-binary. The whole idea of the Trinity. God is Jesus. Jesus is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. God's the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's Jesus. You can't get much more non-binary than that. And then, again, according to their own theology, did Jesus ever, do the boot scooting boogie? Banging boots? Bumping boots? Did Jesus ever make the beast with two backs? No, of course not. How dare you say? Did Jesus ever poop? Did he ever get hold of a bad batch of hummus and just had a terrible case of the runs there by the Sea of Galilee? You reckon? How dare you say such a thing about our Lord and Savior? Well, I mean, you said he was human. I know, this is really Wednesday-ish, but, you know, bear with me. So by their own admission, he's asexual. Did Jesus ever rub one out back behind the acacia trees? How dare you? Right. So I'm going to stop gendering Jesus. Jesus is going to be they, them going forward. Hell, maybe even a she. She, her. But back when they were sitting around having a little chit-chat with the disciples, and the disciples were not the sharpest spoons in the drawer. They were all the time pestering them about who was going to sit at the right hand of the Father. Because, of course, all these patriarchal religions, these Abrahamic religions, are patriarchal in nature, and God forbid. That's kind of funny, just putting it that way. God forbid that we should talk about, the maternal aspect. Because that whole thing, the Abraham, I mean, if you read between the lines or if you read the actual lines, it's all there in Genesis. The Abrahamic cult was a direct response to and elimination of matriarchal religion in that benighted ancient corner of the world. But Jesus was, they were always pestering poor Jesus. Maybe we'd be better at understanding them if we started saying poor Jesus, poor Jesus, poor Jesus. It's pathetic. Sad. Beginning to end, it's freaking sad. Their parents had to take them on the run, according to the mythology, because the king was convinced that it was dangerous for that child to remain alive. They actually began life with a price on their head. And the wise men having to hot-foot it out of Judea. And they ran down into Egypt. That's apparently what ancient Hebraic people did when they got in trouble, according to the books. Hey, let's go to Egypt for a while. And so the disciples were always pestering him about who's going to sit at the right hand of the Father. Father, not creator. The Father, damn it. Gender! He gets disgusted with them in Matthew 25. And he lays it out to him and says, here's your job. If you can help somebody who's sick, help them. If somebody doesn't have a roof over their head, help them have a home. If somebody is in prison, visit with them and make sure they don't give up hope. Basically, be decent. And then he says, because if you've ever done it or not, if you've ever not done it to the least of these, you've not done it to me. And if you have done it to the least of these, you've done it also unto me. You can't get much more least. Which is a contradiction in terms. You can't get much more least than 1% of the population. What kind of fuck? I mean, that's like having a 6'6" tall human being thumping away on somebody who's 4'2". It's like having an orc thumping on a hobbit. It's not going to be much of a contest. But every one of these alleged Christians in every one of these states who has signed on to this legislative hatefulness, this legislative ugliness, is shitting on Jesus. Because Jesus didn't stutter. He said, that's who I'm with. The least of these. That's who matters. Igumfu is not a key to the kingdom. I got mine, fuck you. A woke state, an enlightened state, would do everything in its power to protect these children. And there just aren't that damn many of them. And if I were a parent of a trans child in Alabama or Arkansas or Tennessee or North Carolina Stan or South Carolina Stan, I would worry myself sick every night. And then there are the trans kids whose parents aren't open, who aren't loving. Again, when you do what I do for as long as I've done it, and God, I don't even know how Malloy manages. Everything just piles up in my memory. I remember coming near tears on air, and this was back in Beckley. It was a story of a man in Florida who was charged with murder because he had beaten his little 4-year-old boy to death because he needed to teach him a lesson so he wouldn't be gay. How many times will that happen when the gender nonconformity letter goes home? Because it will happen. And when it does, that limp little body doesn't need to go to the coroner or to the funeral home. That limp little body needs to be delivered to the office of the Speaker of the House or the President of the Senate or maybe just laid on the desk of the goddamned governor. Because it will happen. I don't know what it's like to grow up in the rest of the country, but I can tell you, and it reminds me of something that our dear friend Peter Godbold, who has since gone on, used to say about his own childhood down in North Florida in Tallahassee area. He said, all my teachers, and you know, Peter would proudly tell you that he was gay, 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 gay. He said, my God, Bob, back then, Bob, the exhaust out of my automobile is pink. He had a beautiful sense of humor. But he said, when you grow up in the South, there's a code, a language code that the teachers use for little children that they know are going to grow up to be gay. They say things like, he's such a sweet boy. He's so sensitive. He's so kind. And he said, that was me. I was a sweet boy. I was so sensitive. And the obverse of that coin, the reverse of that coin, is the understanding that little boys are not supposed to be sweet or sensitive or kind. They're supposed to be little brutes, just like their daddies. And that kind of says that we're getting the whole parenting thing wrong. And shit like that goes hand in hand with statements that you'll hear people make. I remember hearing it made in the airport, I think, in Atlanta. There was a story on CNN about some state moving to limit the ability of parents to beat the hell out of their children. And the conversation that I overheard was, them stupid liberals gonna ruin the whole country. Hell, my daddy whipped me on the regular. And look at me, I turned out just fine. Yeah. Okay, Lamar the Magnificent says, enough is enough on Jesus. I'm going to ask forgiveness, but what if Jesus is made like a Ken doll? I'm going to have a hard time going pee-pee. Oh, wait, well, he's going to have a hard time. He just would have blown up and exploded, miracle or no. I was one of those sensitive children. Oh, he's so smart. Always does his homework. Yeah. I guess I'd get a letter sent home about me. But you know what? That code was a letter home. It wasn't mandated by the state of Alabama. And it wasn't said viciously. A lot of those teachers felt a great deal of sympathy because they knew how hard it was to live that way. And it was. And it is. And that is why I so thoroughly despise each and every one of these state governments that's doing these manifest acts of not just evil, but performative viciousness. It's the equivalent of praying loudly in the streets. Again, something that they warned people against. Yeah, Lee in New York says, Shidduch, the Jewish parents choose who marries. If Jesus was raised Jewish, and we're told in the Gospels that he was, it would have been an Orthodox upbringing. I don't think there was anything, well, I mean, there were just varying degrees of Orthodoxy back then. At one point in time, we think that maybe he got so disgusted with it all that he went off into the caves near the Dead Sea and spent a lot of time ritually bathing. Ritually bathing is another way of saying spent a lot of time hanging out in the hot tub. We don't have it there. With a bunch of other guys. No girls! But Lee points out that the parents of a nice Jewish boy would probably have had an arranged marriage. In Haredi communities, marriages may be arranged by the parents of the prospective bride and groom, who may arrange a shidduch by engaging a professional matchmaker, a shadchan, who finds and introduces the prospective bride and groom and receives a fee for his or her services. The young couple is not forced to marry if either does not accept the other. Would Jesus not have had a planned marriage? Spock had an arranged marriage. Still happens in the Indian subcontinent, too. Matt says, sensitive? I got the sensitive descriptive from Jump. So it's not just a Southern thing, but the accent's different. Yeah, sensitive. As Bugs Bunny would say, yeah, yeah, too sensitive. Sensitive. And everybody knew the code. For any manly father,
hearing that his son has been described as sensitive was a harbinger of doom. Kyle pointing out, it is not an overstatement to say that the American Fascist Party is trying to legislate trans people out of existence. This is straight out of the Nazi playbook. So many people in the LGBTQ plus community, as well as our allies, wish it was as simple as a sports issue. Yeah, it ain't. Gwen in San Diego asking, wait just a goddong minute. Wasn't the Blessed Virgin Mary impregnated by one horny motherfucking Holy Spirit? Yes. God, how many? And you know, that's just the way with ancient mythology. Everybody, all your great gods, even your Johnny Come Lately deities, get created by some horny ass male deity raping something female. How many different manifestations did Zeus take on to go and bang a wood nymph or some such? Oh, look, it's a little godling. True enough, Trey points out, Jesus had two dads. Bill's in agreement in PA. Just call the brown-skinned day laborer poor Jesus. Blessed are the poor, right? Blessed are the meek. You know, the sensitive. He was talking about us. He knew. They knew. They knew. I mean, if they were all macho, you know, macho butch Jesus, why would they be standing there on top of a hill talking about don't be mean to the sensitive people? Code is code is code is code. Jude with a note. This North Carolina's blatantly latest focus, stomping on our children's personhood, does deeply pierce, and to be a parent seeking wholeness for their beloved child, it must be excruciatingly painful, as if their plate is not already full. For who would not literally give their very life in protection? This altered reality of these religious zealots is seated in their own self-hatred, a spiritual poison that destroys, willing to even damage a child. Thank you for giving voice to this, as I will follow closely to see if a door opens. Be well, sister, and the lovely little butterfly, Jude. Thank you, Jude. Thank you so much. Wait, Jeebus never got laid? Mike in Cascadia says, Robin, you need to keep up on current events. Oh, this is good. This is perfect. Archaeologists discover site where desperate Jesus Christ turned tricks. In a stunning discovery that archaeologists hope might shed light on the little-known years between Jesus Christ's childhood and his ministry, the Israeli Antiquities Authority uncovered Monday what they believe to be the site where, in the years before he began his itinerant preaching, a desperate, cash-strapped Christ briefly turned tricks for money. I think they went by Melania back then. Yeah, don't worry, it's from The Onion. It's an incredible find, and one that confirms many of our long-held theories about Christ's so-called lost years, said the Digs head archaeologist Avram Oshri, who went on to note that while Christ's hooking is not referenced in the New Testament, suggestions is an exact match for the area described in ancient texts where Jesus is said to have flagged down lonely men traveling from Jaffa and offered his wares in public commodes. This would have been before Christ had many followers, of course, Oshri added. Some of their earliest followers were clients, actually. Oh, my God. Maybe literally, who knows? Jesus had two dads and two first names, Jeremy observes. I have to think about trusting him based on the two first names alone. Yeah. And a little reminder from Ron and Raleigh. Cobb County, Georgia has banned yoga in its schools for over 20 years. One teacher is trying to get it back. The reason given for banning the practice is because it fosters a belief in a non-Christian religion.
Well, they and some other jurisdictions have wised up a little bit with their First Amendment language and said, well, yoga is a religious practice, and if we can't practice Christianity in schools, neither can them yogis or the boo-boos. Oof. Well, here we are. I have Phila Robstard the better part of 2 hours away. We still have a $10 challenge, courtesy of Joey and Giraffe, that, unless I didn't get the notification, has not been touched. Let me check, make sure I'm not wrong. I think that's a big negatory rubber duck. Yep, no, nothing yet. So if that could be matched, that would get us at least down to a $560 hole. It'd be great if we could wipe out maybe yesterday. After the challenge, $260 would at least have us fully funded for yesterday's program. Mm-hmm. And look, like I said, I didn't mean to turn it into Wednesday. But you cannot look at any of these stories, any of these bills, without a reference to their sick and twisted cult religions. Because the Southern Baptist Church is a cult. It's not, it just is. I mean, they exercise this degree of control through the Southern Baptist Convention that says that individual churches have their own rights to their own ideas. And you cannot understand any of these bills. And this applies to a woman's right to choose as well. If you dig deep enough in any of these, you're going to find it laying there. Always, 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 these hateful, noxious pieces of legislation stem from the burning desire on the part of these evangelical Christians to impose their religious will on the rest of us, whether we believe like they do or not. You know, Starship handled this a long time ago. If only you'd believe like I believe, baby, we'd get by. I. No singing. Not with a $580 freaking hole. No singing. Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy just met Joey and Giraffe's challenge and said 10 more to start on the rest. So we are down to 560. And thank you to our dear sister Jude. We're down to 550. That came in almost commensurate with Jeremy. So Jeremy needs to see another $10 come in. And we'll get it down to 540 because the bills, they are awaiting. But no kidding. Every time one of these bills pops up, it is driven by their twisted religion, their sick misunderstanding of an arguably non-binary asexual person who 2,000 years ago said, quit being so awful to each other. No, really. When you're that, we went over that. Because the First Amendment to them, they know, protects anything they damned well want to do in this country. Because we have fetishized religion to give them cover. And we have to treat them with kid gloves. We can't do what I do on this program. You can't do that publicly. You can't you can't protest the church. Oh, well, they're trying to trample my religious liberties. Sit, liberty, sit. No, we just want you to stop using your religion as a fucking weapon. When you say outright that you want to make sure that a woman can't make a choice about a pregnancy because God, you are imposing your religion on the majority of human beings who do not share it with you. And even the various sects don't agree. Some Christian sects absolutely support a woman's right to choose. And they take a religious view, a theological view that is driven on by their understanding of what they call Holy Scripture. And these evangelicals say, nuh-uh! And I think we would go further if we started talking about these legislative acts as acts of theocracy. Like I said last week, how bizarre must it be? How bizarre is it to realize that Republican legislators in Arkansas are more bigoted than the mullahs in Iran? I mean, my God, since the end of the 70s, the mullahs in Iran have been the benchmark gold standard for religious intolerance. And the legislatures in Arkansas and Alabama and Idaho and South Dakota, etc., have trumped the mullahs in Iran. Literally trumped. Wow! And so when we take that understanding and we apply it to something like, oh, how about the people who attacked the Capitol of the United States on January the 6th, we find something fascinating. There's an organization out there called the Chicago Project on Security and Threats, CPOST. And in our modern era, everything can be reduced to a data point. And maybe everything is just a data point. This is terribly telling what the Chicago Project on Security and Threats found out. They analyzed the 377 out of God knows how many people who participated, the 377 people who have been arrested for their participation in the attack on the Capitol, and they saw something interesting. Fascinating. Of the 377 arrested for attacking the Capitol of the United States in an act of treasonous insurrection, according to the CPOST report, quote, they are 95% white, 85% male, and many of them live near and among Biden supporters in blue and purple counties. Most of the people, and this comes from a Washington Post article, most of the people who took part in the assault came from places polling and demographic data showed that were awash in fears that the rights of minorities and immigrants were crowding out the rights of white people in American politics and culture. Of course, we knew all that, didn't we? We've been talking about it for years. Fear is a terrible force. Fear is how monsters are made. Not fear of monsters, or perhaps the fear of the unknown. But that fear, allied with its handmaiden ignorance, is what creates the monsters. 95% white, 85% male, and they came to Washington, D.C. from bumfuck Indiana and busted knuckle West Virginia. And all kinds of little tiny dots on the map where they had probably never seen a Hispanic person, didn't know a gay person, would stare in slack-jawed horror at a trans person and have been fed a steady diet of terror by Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, Newsmuck, and Onan the network that spills its news upon the ground by fucker Tucky Carlson, by Frau Laura Ingram, by the Hannity job, but not by Rush Limbaugh. He's dead. Still dead. Put another way, the article says, the people alleged by authorities to have taken the law into their own hands on January 6th typically hail from places where non-white populations are growing fastest. By far the most interesting characteristic common to the insurrectionist backgrounds has to do with changes in their local demographics. Counties with the most significant declines in the non-Hispanic white population are the most likely to produce insurrectionists who now face charges. God damn it, look around. They're all over the place now. And they see skin tones, and they see they see gender presentations, and they see guys married to guys and women married to women, and it's a big dollar in the local gospel shops and serpent petting zoos that pass for churches. And once they're weaponized, they're ready to roll. One of the things I plan on talking about this evening on Malloy's program is Ammon Bundy. Ammonium nitrate Bundy, who is motivated toward treason by his understanding of Mormon church doctrine. Just as these legislators in Alabama stand and Tennessee stand and Arkansas stand and the lot, North Carolina stand, are motivated by their twisted misunderstanding of Christian theology. Fear of the great replacement. That's a phrase they use. Great replacement theory has, great replacement paranoia has achieved iconic status with white nationalists and holds that minorities are progressively replacing white populations due to mass immigration policies and low birth rates. And the headline over at the New York Times read, fears of white people losing out permeate Capitol rioters' towns, study finds. And this is a worldwide phenomenon. All over the planet, in majority white countries, there's this theory, and it drives, for instance, the rise of fascism in places like Hungary, where Viktor Orban has tapped into the fascist leanings of his country. Because they're convinced that an influx of Muslim refugees will somehow take away the white Europeanness of Europe, even though the entire history of so-called white Europe is anything but white. The archaeological record in Roman Britain is decidedly not white. But I guess there are deep Jungian sort of ethnic memories. And so things like the Muslim incursions into Europe, the Spain of the Alhambra, the wars against, among others, the Turks in the Balkans, hold tremendous power. And yet, somehow or another, human beings did manage to interact and intermix and intermarry, interbreed, so that nobody's pure anything. This is all that scene out of what was it, Stripes, where we're all mutts. There's crusader genetic material to this day in children born in Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, that iconic photograph of the Afghan girl from, what, the late 1980s? I think it won a Pulitzer Prize. And her piercing blue eyes may very well be a genetic artifact from the days when a barbarian horde of Macedonian Greeks marched through what was then known as, what, Bactria? And where young Alexander was at least for a time affianced to a woman named Roxanne. But white people are easily terrified. All human beings are easily terrified if you work hard enough. You'd think we would learn something from the Rwandan genocide. When two different tribal peoples set upon one another and a genocide ensued. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right, Darlene. That was a National Geographic cover. They chased her down. They didn't chase her. But they found her later, after a couple of decades, in one of the world's most hellish places, had taken its toll on her. And though they knew her age, she looked like she may as well have been 80, when she wasn't half of that. Patriarchy will do that. But back to ammonium nitrate Bundy. As Jude pointed out to me in something that she sent to me, for all intents and purposes, Ammon Bundy has an army of about 50,000 people who will do his bidding on a word. And believe you me, he is not the Kwisatz Haderachis. More of a Harkonnen, really. Ammon Bundy, Jeremy asks, are you surprised that he's driven to hate at the threat of violence after his white Jebus appeared to the natives, or as he knows them, the lost tribes of Israel, and his very first question upon flotation out as the fluffy white clouds was, are any of you fuckers gay? And should believe in me, the Son of God. Well, no. But even he and his followers have more or less been called out as of Sunday by a guy named Oakes, who apparently is the lead hustler for the LDS church, prophet, I don't know, 32nd degree exalted noble pishposh. He called him out and said, that ain't American, that ain't patriotism. And frankly, Ammon Bundy don't care, because it beats the hell out of riding the range chasing after some scrawny-ass cattle that have gone off in the night.
It's a hell of a lot easier to, you know, he always shows up in his barn coat and his hat. Fucker probably hasn't picked up a fork full of hay in years. Because all of these things are good hustles. Good work if you can get it. Older white males from areas fearful of minorities and immigrants. Fearful of what? Let's say that their great replacement paranoia is true. What does that mean? What's it mean for them? If it happens, they're not going to be alive. How is it they're going to be replaced? Wait a minute. Have we just found ourselves in some sort of dystopian Nazi nightmare where racial purity is everything? Why, yes. Yes, by God, I believe we have. Because if you're seeing white people as replaceable, don't tell them we've only been around for about 7,000 years. We're not particularly successful. The real fear is the great elimination, not the great replacement. The fact that this species is hurtling towards self-elimination. But they don't even acknowledge the reality of that. Climate change! A bunch of egghead scientists don't understand no science, and suddenly we're back into yesterday's program. What Kyle was telling us about. Okay, well, I'll take a cowbell where I can get it. Thank you, Jeremy. Some 32nd degree noble pish-posh made me laugh, Jeremy says. Good. We need a giggle here and there. Let me see what this is. There. From Hafez, Jude sends this along. Fear is the cheapest room in the house. I'd like to see you living in better conditions. It's true. Jude noting, even though we're mortal, somehow there was a spark set free in us, and we chose not to reside in the cheapest room, grateful for this community. As am I, Jude. As am I. So I'm going to take a break, because you know what? Fill a Robstering for 2 hours and 17 minutes is kind of dry business. And it just so happens to be Tuesday, and we just so happen to have the Green News Report. And gosh, that's always a cheery and uplifting. No, it is. Snarky comment. I live for snarky comment. So we'll check that out. The young Afghan girl with the piercing eyes, her name is Sharbat Gula, also known as Sharbat Bibi. And at present, she is 49 years of age, and she looks like she's 100. Because, well, that's what patriarchy does. I've got a photograph of my great-grandmother and my great-grandfather. She might be 45 years old. And she looks like Granny Clampett. And that's what this place does to people, because there are people here. I mean, that was 100 years ago. No, 80 maybe. But there are people in the right now, the here and now, right here in Appalachia. Who look the same. Not limited to male or female. It's what the dysfunctional abuse of this region has done. People my kid's age who look 30 years older after a few years of meth and a little crack, maybe some opioids. Yeah.
Poverty. Poverty. And you can see it in every one of these godforsaken states with their godforsaken stupid laws about whether or not a kid can get puberty blockers. But those legislatures aren't doing dick. Complicated scientific term, dick. They're not doing dick about poverty because, well, you know, you wouldn't want to do anything for poor people because they're just going to behave like poor people. And it becomes self-perpetuating and a self-fulfilling prophecy. And then the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christians look up and said, "We told you that's how they were!" See? Yeah. So, do let's. Hopefully we'll raise another $10 for Jeremy's challenge. That'll take us down to $5.40. That would be helpful. And let's see what's... let's see what Brad and Desi have for us. Wait a minute. I think I loaded it, but I don't know that I loaded it. So let's make sure I loaded it. Okay, now we know. Hey, this is Conversation Radio. Anybody want to talk? I mean, I can fill a Robster another the rest of the program. That's cool. But if you've got if any of this makes you want to address any of it, if any of it makes you want, if I missed something, yeah, let me know. In the meantime.
It's Tuesday, April 6, 2021.
It is a crisis at Piney Point. Tonight, crews are working around the clock to prevent an environmental disaster.
Florida races to prevent massive toxic wastewater breach.
Good infrastructure planning is always about looking to the future.
Biden administration pushes back on Republican opposition to infrastructure jobs. Japan sees earliest cherry blossom peak in 1,200 years, plus victory for breathers in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Breathe easy. All of those stories and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
And I was shocked by how much doesn't go into infrastructure. It goes into pipes and different initiatives.
Our water system is not infrastructure. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, I think she just cemented her status as the GOP's 2024 presidential frontrunner. Nice work, lady. Have another glass of lead. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, this story is not getting a lot of coverage, but it sure seems like it should.
Yes. Florida's Republican Governor Ron DeSantis declared a state of emergency over the weekend because a toxic wastewater reservoir near Tampa Bay is in danger of imminent collapse. More than 300 homes have been evacuated from the area surrounding Piney Point, a closed phosphate processing plant. Unable to plug the leaks, authorities are now working to drain the reservoir, according to Scott Hopes, acting Manatee County Administrator.
We're talking about the potential of about 600 million gallons within a matter of seconds and minutes leaving that retention pool and going around the surrounding area. Keeping in mind that some of the water in that pool is salt water, which doesn't go very well with our potato crops and things like that.
But that means pumping millions of gallons of contaminated wastewater into Tampa Bay.
Isn't there also some radioactive waste involved with this story as well?
Yes, the plant's waste has some radioactivity, but they say that the water itself is not radioactive.
Oh, I'm sure everything will be fine.
Officials do say that the contaminated water is within legal limits, but environmental groups warn that the releases of water contaminated with mining waste waste, phosphorus, and nitrogen could trigger a red tide of toxic algae, which Clearwater Marine Aquarium warns could kill threatened manatees in Tampa Bay. The cost of cleanup and restoration at the Piney Point site could cost as much as $200 million. State officials were warned about this exact scenario when the plant closed 20 years ago. President Biden's new $2 trillion infrastructure jobs proposal, released last week, would help with that kind of dangerously decrepit, aging infrastructure and abandoned industrial sites.
No, Republicans don't want any of that money. They don't want any help at all. Governor Ron DeSantis, I'm sure, is not interested.
Yes, we'll get to that in a moment. The massive package would repair roads and bridges, water systems, ports, airports, but also take action to cut carbon emissions by modernizing the electric grid, building a national electric vehicle charging network, and much more. New polling shows strong majorities of Americans, including Republican voters, support Biden's infrastructure proposal, but Senate Republicans have already said they will not support it, and several other Republicans have attacked the proposal for not keeping to their extremely limited and narrow definition of traditional infrastructure as covering only roads and bridges. In an interview with Fox News, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg pushed back, citing the deadly Texas blackout in February.
I don't know why anybody would say it's a mistake to invest in the grid after what we just witnessed in Texas. So yes, infrastructure includes energy infrastructure.
Buttigieg also said that a national electric vehicle charging network is absolutely critical infrastructure.
Good infrastructure planning is always about looking to the future. You know, railroads weren't part of infrastructure until we built them. Now it's time to prepare for the future. And the millions of jobs that will be created by this bill are because this bill looks to the future.
In other news, Japan's famous cherry blossoms have peaked at the earliest date in more than 1,200 years. That's according to data collected by Osaka University. Researchers said cherry trees are extremely temperature sensitive, and the observed trend toward ever earlier peaks to the season is most likely due to man-made global warming. Finally, some good news for things that breathe in Massachusetts. The Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection has revoked a permit for a developer to build a controversial, massive wood-burning power plant in Springfield, literally to burn wood to generate electricity. The agency revoked the permit on pollution and environmental justice grounds. Springfield residents have been fighting the plant for 12 years because their town has one of the highest rates of asthma in the nation.
Wood is renewable energy, isn't it?
Yes, it is, but it is dumb to burn it for electricity when we have clean solar and wind.
Well, maybe dumb is in the lungs of the beholder. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
And I'm burning.
Chair dancing. Yeah, I love that song. Good call, Brad. Good call, Desi. I don't know. I think Desi probably pulls the bumper music. Just a guess. So here we are, about a half an hour left in the program. The fundraising hole gets deeper, 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 deeper. Oh, well. I guess you'll have that. And like I said, if you want to engage in any conversation, you're mighty welcome so to do. Wonderful. Thank you, Ralphs. Jeremy's challenge has been met, so now we're down to $540 to go. $240 away from fully funding yesterday's program. $540 from fully funding yesterday and today. Hopefully we will knock down some of that in the remaining half hour of the program. It would be lovely if we could. Jesus facts, Billable Rick writes. What do Jesus and Kim Jong-un have in common? Neither one has ever had a bowel movement, at least according to religious or state-run media. Yeah, of course not. And even if they did, it'd smell like fucking lilacs. Yeah. Right. Okay, let's get away from that. We don't have to. Yes, we can be better. No, let's don't be better. Let's giggle maniacally. Because I got one here that's going to make you giggle. I just love this story so much. It comes from the Montgomery Advertiser, Montgomery, Alabama. And, well, you kind of, you don't want to celebrate something like theft or anything, but if it's an act of, resistance, you know, kind of how do you not? Oh, this is good. This is so good. Get the hockey puck, not for crazy purposes, but for because you don't want to scare the neighbors with the just relentless giggling that's about to. Yeah. Oh, but back to what Brad and Desi were talking about. Darlene in Connecticut says, "Damn, I'm glad they nixed that wood burning power plant in Springfield, Massachusetts, because guess where the pollution would blow down to? Yeah, you got it, Connecticut, and we already have enough kids with asthma here." And we talk about Orwellian language. Well, this is another case of that. Mercy, that's not wood. That's biomass, Darlene. Biomass. Yeah, that sounds so environmental, doesn't it? Until you try to breathe. Mm-hmm. Jesus. Massachusetts, for God's sakes. Whose bright idea was that? So, get ready for this. This is just beautiful. Like I said, I don't generally support acts of vandalism or property damage or God knows criminal conduct, but it seems like there's a fine line between criminality and attempting to balance issues of justice and decency. Now, the place that I'm going to talk about, I have seen. I've been there. It's in Selma, Alabama, and it's a cemetery. And it's just chock full of dead Confederates. And at the time I was there, God, how many years ago was it now? During breaks in meetings, I walked around old Selma and just marveled at the antebellum architecture and the antebellum cemeteries and whatnot. Not from the standpoint of, my goodness gracious, aren't these just lovely? But from the standpoint of, dear God, look at all the stolen labor here. Because that's how I am. Once you've learned something, it's kind of hard to pretend it isn't real. Sturtevant Hall, I think, is in Selma. I think that's the name of the place. It was an accursed mansion built with stolen labor, whose owner never really got to enjoy it because that little unpleasantness of 1861 to 1865 came along and ruined everything, and then the subsequent owner, not so much, and right. So this cemetery and, you know, old, you know, oak trees and maybe even some Spanish moss, everything that makes it all Southern Gothic and creepy as shit, and it's all white people in the cemetery. And back when I was there, they were having a shit hemorrhage, all the white people were, over the fact that somebody had, and I don't know how you do this, somebody had slipped into the cemetery in the dark and still of the night, and carried off a bust of old Nathan Bedford Forrest, the Confederate general who had been a plantation owner before the war and a trafficker in slaves, and who ordered the massacre of Union troops at Fort Pillow on the Cumberland River. And after the war, went on to become one of the founders of the Ku Klux Klan. Not a nice guy. Naturally, the lost causers and whatnot just think he's the bee's knees. And somebody slipped into that cemetery and carried the bus to old Nathan Bedford Forrest off. So when you walk across, because we did that weekend, when you walk across the Edmund Pettus Bridge across the Alabama River, beautiful country. Beautiful country. Soaked in blood from jump. Not far from there, somewhere down around there, a massive war between DeSoto's Spanish invaders and the locals took place. DeSoto just barely surviving. Massacre ensuing. Yep, started that way. The history of white people in the Americas begins with bloodshed. It just does. But anyway, you go across the Edmund Pettus Bridge, and on the other side, not far from the events of Bloody Sunday, hard by, as a matter of fact, there is the National Voting Rights Museum. And it was a beautiful thing to go through. But way up high above it, there was a billboard saying, "Reward offered for the return of the bust of General Nathan Bedford Forrest for the bust what was stolen from the cemetery." I don't know if he ever came home. Yeah, I hope he didn't. Well, now we're up to 2021. That was, God, 7, 8, 9 years. I don't know how long ago it was. But somebody is at it again. And according to the Montgomery Advertiser, which has actually over the years been a pretty decent newspaper, but the Montgomery Advertiser reports that a group calling themselves White Lives Matter, let the giggling commence, not White Lives, White Lies, a group calling themselves White Lives Matter has stolen a monument to Jefferson Davis that was in that same cemetery. And I don't know how it's a monument to Jefferson Davis, because it's a carved stone chair. Jefferson Davis isn't buried there. It's just a nasty little repository of lost cause horse shit. And this is just beautiful. I don't know how you do this in the dark and still of the night. It had to be a hell of an operation. But the folks at White Lives Matter came and, they stole the memorial. And then they issued their ransom demands for a stone seat with a hole in the bottom. I don't know, maybe it had a planter in it or a bust of Jefferson Davis or something. I don't know. White Lives Matter is an anti-racism group. It was dedicated, this memorial was, in 1893. So it's right smack dab in the middle of the lost cause bullshit and the rise of Jim Crow. It's only a few years removed from the noxious Supreme Court decision in Plessy versus Ferguson. And so, having stolen the memorial to Jefferson Davis, who was by then long since dead, and he died at his slave mansion down on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That beautiful, tormented country. I don't know what artists thought that a stone chair with a hole in it. Well, so it turns out that that White Lives Matter sent a notice out, a press release, I guess, to media outlets in Alabama. And they said that they will be happy to return the monument to the new 90 Daughters of the Confederacy. the UDC, on one condition. This stone chair with a hole in the bottom. Sounds like something, doesn't it? I mean, really, a stone toilet seat dedicated to Jefferson Davis. You can't get... What were they thinking in 1893, those United Daughters of the Confederacy? Well, they said that if the United Daughters of the Confederacy hang up a banner for the whole day, starting on Friday, celebrating the 156th anniversary of Robert E. Lee's surrender to Ulysses Grant at the Appomattox Courthouse in Virginia, they'll give the damn thing back. They did, however, make clear that they're not fooling around. Failure to do so will result in the monument, an ornate stone chair, immediately being turned into a toilet. If they do display the banner, not only will we return the chair intact, but we'll clean it to boot. Because it was looking kind of nasty and abused. Those United Daughters of the Confederacy hadn't done a very good job as stewards of history. They're trying to take away our history, our historical stone chair that looks remarkably like a toilet that's dedicated to Jefferson Davis. And, in the demand that they issued, White Lives Matter included a quote from a black liberation activist by the name of Assata Shakur. He escaped from prison after being convicted of murdering a New Jersey state trooper in 1973 and hightailed it for Cuba. And the quote reads, "The rulers of this country have always considered their property more important than our lives." So naturally, the fine and dainty ladies of the United Daughters of the Confederacy have been, shall we say, reticent, and have not responded to requests for comment. But the goddess of irony is all over this story. Oh, she worked hard, the goddess did. Because while the new United Daughters of the Confederacy said, well, the only thing they did say is, well, this is just fake news. Mercy, somebody get me a Darvon and a margarita. I'm going to need the fainting couch. This fake news is what it is. It's fake news. But the Selma Police Department confirmed that the noxious monument had been boosted. A chair boosted. See what I did there? Booster chair, right? Jefferson Davis, a little hobbit of a motherfucker. I said the goddess was all over this because the district attorney of Dallas County, Alabama, of which Selma is the county seat, is a guy by the name of Michael Jackson. And the king of prosecutors, I guess, in Dallas County, also confirmed that this revolting monument had been lifted. Yeah. There are still remaining some 700 Confederate monuments around the United States, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center. In communicating to AL.com, White Lives Matter said, like most Confederate monuments, the chair mostly exists to remind those whose freedom had to be purchased in blood that there still exists a portion of our country that is more than willing to continue to spill blood to avoid paying down that debt. As for turning the ornate stone chair to a toilet, Brother Deacon Asa says, are the UDC going to use a ringer for a ringer and make that celebratory banner out of their tidy-whities?
You didn't think I was going to let this alone, did you? I would never, I would, no, I would not dream, I would not, no. And Asada Shakur, Jeremy in Vermont reminds us that's Tupac's now passed on mother's best friend and his godmother. I wondered. So mercy sakes, they're probably just terribly wrought there, worrying about the whereabouts of the sacred and beloved $500,000 stone toilet seat. Yeah. Like I said, you can read the story over at MontgomeryAdvertiser.com. Robert E. Lee surrendered his treasonous troops on April the 9th, and that will be this Friday. And so for 24 hours, the banner has to hang beginning April 9th at 1 p.m., and include the quote from Asada Shakur. And the best part of it all is that they did it up, the ransom demand, if you can apply ransom to a fucking Confederate monument. They did it up in the form of a printed handbill from the 1860s. It really is worth going to MontgomeryAdvertiser.com to see this thing. The headline reads, White Lives Matter Group Claims Responsibility Demands Ransom for Stolen Confederate Monument. It was the story was published yesterday. Agnes made me aware of it earlier. But it's done with the 1860s font, the Eagle of the Republic, bearing a banner in its beak that reads, The Union Forever. The Jefferson Davis Chair is in our possession. It is safe and stored in a secure location. We have every intention of returning it unharmed. Hell will even clean it up for you. In exchange for its safe return, we ask that the enclosed banner be displayed above the entrance of this building for the following duration: 1 p.m. Friday, April 9th, 2021, to 1 p.m. Saturday, April 10th, 2021. Failure to surrender to this request by the aforementioned time will result in the chair being carved into a toilet. See enclosed photograph. Yeah, shit just got real. Thank you for your time. White Lives Matter, Incorporated. Now, it was April, so it's not an April Fool's joke. It's too late for April Fool's. And just an aside, since Jeremy pointed it out, Asada Shakur was a former member of the Black Liberation Army, convicted of murder in 1977, escaped prison in 1979, and remains free despite being wanted by the FBI after she was granted political asylum in Cuba. She must have gotten along fairly well in Cuba. She's lived this long. And in their notice, they said, They remarked on tension between our heritage of white supremacy and our underlying belief in liberty and justice for all. America's original sin is that people were kidnapped. The Montgomery Advertiser printed all of this, and good on them for it. America's original sin is that people were kidnapped from their homes and forced to build one of the most prosperous nations in the world without being allowed to participate in it. We decided, in the spirit of such ignominious traditions, to kidnap a chair instead. Jefferson Davis doesn't need it anymore. He's long dead, I'll add, just like Rush Limbaugh. To be honest, he never even had first place. And I guess the mystery has persisted for several weeks now because it was first noticed to be missing on March the 19th. And that was the weekend of the Selma pilgrimage.
And, of course, somebody has put up a $5,000 reward leading to information about the whereabouts of the disappearance of the chair. As to its history, yes, the Ladies of Selma presented the stone chair in memory of Jefferson Davis in 1893, over 20 years after he'd last visited the city. It was displayed in Confederate Circle, which covers about an acre in Selma's old Live Oak Cemetery. No, really, Confederate Circle, in 2021. It hasn't handled the passage of time very well. It used to be carved with ferns and tree trunks and branches, with the original intended motto of the state of Alabama, "Here we rest," carved on the back of the chair. And a dedication to Jefferson Davis was on the seat, but it hasn't lasted long either. And no, they have never found Nathan Bedford Forrest, but the Friends of Forrest, and not Gump, they replaced the bronze bust. And then the city of Selma sold the area around Confederate Circle to the new 90 Daughters of the Confederacy, who apparently still have some money laying about. Mm-hmm. And apparently the White Lives Matter folks were more than willing to explain their motivations. We took their toy and we don't feel guilty about it. They never play with it anyway. They just want it there to remind us what they've done, what they're still willing to do. But the South won't rise again, not as the Confederacy. All that's left of that nightmare is an obscenely heavy chair that's a throne for a ghost whose greatest accomplishment was treason. God, that's some elegant language. And I guess the Montgomery Advertiser wrote back and asked how it all happened. And they said, oh, they'd been planning on it since last fall. And they chose Assata Shakur's quote because they wanted to display a wrinkle in the arguments surrounding Confederate monuments. Many in this country seem more concerned with violence against things than violence against people, as long as they can continue to convince themselves that those people are just things. It's great writing. And then noted, the thing's a mess. For all that talk about heritage, they really haven't taken care of the thing. And as of 2 p.m. yesterday, they still hadn't heard a word from the new 90 Daughters of the Confederacy. Well, it takes a little time to get the hoop skirts on and shit. Those corsets, please. And the Montgomery Advertiser's efforts to reach the United Daughters of the Confederacy was, shall we say, unsuccess? Mm-hmm, right. I told you we'd finish with a giggle. I love it. And they're more than happy not to destroy it. And they're not going to destroy it. They're just going to shit all over it. Like it deserves. Maybe then they'll give it back without the ransom. Wonder what being turned into a toilet does to a stone the value of a stone chair. Valued at $500,000. And thank you very kindly to Brother Bishop Steve and Ms. Karen, Little Cletus. Little Cletus went out and found a bone. And so we are down to $530 to go to. $230 to finish yesterday and $300 for today. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Deacon. Brother Bishop Steve, very kindly. Yeah, PayPal is running slow. It just showed up a couple of minutes ago. Thank you. Dear God, if this story hits the wires and gets legs, Poor old Moscow Mitch is liable to have a plum conniption. He may even get the vapors or the fantods. Oh, cancel culture. It's more of that cancel culture. As they talk about boycotting Coca-Cola and canceling Coca-Cola and canceling Major League Baseball. And Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz says, well, we're going to have me and Mike Lee, the constitutional scholar, we're going to hold hearings. That's what we're going to do. We're going to hold hearings. Rafaelito, buddy, you're not in the majority. Yeah, we're going to take away the antitrust exemption from Major League Baseball. Isn't that just hilarious? They're so terribly, delicately upset. Whatever shall we do? I don't know. Giggle? Jefferson Davis's toilet chair has been... Yeah. Good on him. And I personally would love to see that banner hanging. We'll give it back. And of course, I'm sure a full-scale SWAT operation is already in motion. Because you know what? We'll arrest them when they we'll arrest them when they come to deliver the chair. That's what we'll arrest them. Desperate criminals to taking action and threatening the life of a stone chair that's been neglected for over 100 years. We cannot tolerate this sort of lawlessness in Alabama. After the program, I'll post the Montgomery Advertiser story over on my Facebook page, just so everybody can... The banner alone is worth the time it takes to click the link. It's just fantastic. Chair! So here we are, end of the program. Thanks, everybody. Sorry about turning it all into Prayer Meeting Wednesday, but I can't ignore stories like that. Wholesale assaults on the rights of some of the most marginalized people in this country. And I think it deserved every minute that we gave to it. So, have a great evening. And thank you to all of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. So very kindly. Thank you to our a la carte contributors who help us make our fundraising goal evening by evening by evening. Thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Pinch Hit Midweek Chatroom Utility Moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Thank you to Sparky. Very kindly. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Malloy on the way in a little over an hour. You'll be hearing from me again. Yay. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy, of course, is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Just keep getting better, Ben. You can and you will. You've done so much. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. It's a great time to reach out to your member of Congress and ask them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, so that some of the stuff that happens in Appalachia that I was talking about, maybe we can finally get a handle on after 100 and more years of abuse. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.
do please stay safe. Get your vaccine when you can. In the meantime, maintain your social distance. Wear your gloves, wear your mask, double mask, wash your hands, don't touch your face, carry your hand sanitizer everywhere you go. I do. Keep 15 feet between masked people and, there aren't 15 continents, but wouldn't be a bad idea between people with you and people without masks. And, of course, if someone comes towards you saying, they've desecrated poor Jefferson Davis's chair with what he never sat in, avoid that person like the plague. Because they are. Later.